Now open your question paper and look at part one. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully. You will hear each recording twice. 1.
Today's lecture was fascinating. I never realized how complex the skin is.
People forget that it's an organ. It performs many important functions.
I see that now, but I do have a question.
What's that?
I'm looking at the diagram of the dermis. Are there glands beside each hair follicle?
Yes, those are called sebaceous glands.
What do they do?
They coat the hairs with a special oil. This oil protects the epidermis.
Oh, and hair growth brings it to the surface.
Exactly.
Now listen again.
Today's lecture was fascinating. I never realized how complex the skin is.
People forget that it's an organ. It performs many important functions.
I see that now, but I do have a question.
What's that?
I'm looking at the diagram of the dermis. Are there glands beside each hair follicle?
Yes, those are called sebaceous glands.
What do they do?
They coat the hairs with a special oil. This oil protects the epidermis.
Oh, and hair growth brings it to the surface.
Exactly.
2.
I see from your health history form that you have an allergy.
That's right. I'm allergic to latex. Are your gloves made from it?
Nope. Our practice replaced them with nitrile gloves about 2 years ago.
That's good.
We thought it was better to be safe than sorry. Some people don't even know they're allergic.
I didn't know for a long time.
What happens when you have an allergic reaction to it? Do you get hives?
I get an itchy rash and my throat starts to close up.
Now listen again.
I see from your health history form that you have an allergy.
That's right. I'm allergic to latex. Are your gloves made from it?
Nope. Our practice replaced them with nitrile gloves about 2 years ago.
That's good.
We thought it was better to be safe than sorry. Some people don't even know they're allergic.
I didn't know for a long time.
What happens when you have an allergic reaction to it? Do you get hives?
I get an itchy rash and my throat starts to close up.
3.
Hi, Ellen. Do you have the patient medication list?
Yeah, here you go.
Thanks. Looks like it's time to get Mr. Hurst his medication.
Ted Hurst? But it's only 10 a.m.
Exactly. It says he needs his first dose of antihistamines.
But Mr. Hurst receives stimulants. Tim Hunt needs the antihistamines.
Uh-oh. There must be a mix-up on the list.
That's not good. Let's change that immediately.
Now listen again.
Hi, Ellen. Do you have the patient medication list?
Yeah, here you go.
Thanks. Looks like it's time to get Mr. Hurst his medication.
Ted Hurst? But it's only 10 a.m.
Exactly. It says he needs his first dose of antihistamines.
But Mr. Hurst receives stimulants. Tim Hunt needs the antihistamines.
Uh-oh. There must be a mix-up on the list.
That's not good. Let's change that immediately.
4.
Thanks for coming to the blood drive, Mr. Fisher. Is this your first time donating?
It is. I'm actually a little nervous.
Don't worry, it doesn't hurt at all. And I see on your file that you have type O blood.
Yes, that's right. Does it matter?
Actually, it's great news. You're a universal donor.
So my blood is compatible with everyone?
Exactly. Type A, B, AB, it doesn't matter. But unfortunately, you can receive only your own blood type.
Now listen again.
Thanks for coming to the blood drive, Mr. Fisher. Is this your first time donating?
It is. I'm actually a little nervous.
Don't worry, it doesn't hurt at all. And I see on your file that you have type O blood.
Yes, that's right. Does it matter?
Actually, it's great news. You're a universal donor.
So my blood is compatible with everyone?
Exactly. Type A, B, AB, it doesn't matter. But unfortunately, you can receive only your own blood type.
5.
I heard you had a nasty trauma case this morning. What happened exactly?
It was an abdominal injury. The patient's spleen ruptured.
And it was the result of an injury?
Yes. The patient was in an auto accident.
Ah, So there was blunt trauma to the region.
Well, yes, but in fact, her ruptured spleen was due to a penetrating trauma.
That's surprising. Spleen injuries are usually the result of blunt trauma.
Right.
Now listen again.
I heard you had a nasty trauma case this morning. What happened exactly?
It was an abdominal injury. The patient's spleen ruptured.
And it was the result of an injury?
Yes. The patient was in an auto accident.
Ah, so there was blunt trauma to the region.
Well, yes, but in fact, her ruptured spleen was due to a penetrating trauma.
That's surprising. Spleen injuries are usually the result of blunt trauma.
Right.
6.
What happened at the scene? Do you know anything about it?
A bystander saw the patient fall in the street. We believe she had an epileptic seizure.
You think she has epilepsy? Are you sure about that?
Yes, it's on her medic alert tag.
Ah, I see. Then an epileptic seizure is a reasonable assumption.
We didn't get much patient history on the way here. She said something about her head, but she wasn't very clear.
Now listen again.
What happened at the scene? Do you know anything about it?
A bystander saw the patient fall in the street. We believe she had an epileptic seizure.
You think she has epilepsy? Are you sure about that?
Yes, it's on her medic alert tag.
Ah, I see. Then an epileptic seizure is a reasonable assumption.
We didn't get much patient history on the way here. She said something about her head, but she wasn't very clear.
7.
Okay, Linda. We're going to review vital signs. Let's say that your patient is unconscious. What do you do?
First, I check the patient's pulse.
Good. So, he has a pulse, but it's weak. What next?
I guess I check his respiration.
Okay. And let's say he's not breathing.
I check for obstructions in the airway. Then it depends on what I find. I might perform any number of procedures.
That's right. Now, let's talk about blood pressure.
Now listen again.
Okay, Linda. We're going to review vital signs. Let's say that your patient is unconscious. What do you do?
First, I check the patient's pulse.
Good. So, he has a pulse, but it's weak. What next?
I guess I check his respiration.
Okay. And let's say he's not breathing.
I check for obstructions in the airway. Then it depends on what I find. I might perform any number of procedures.
That's right. Now, let's talk about blood pressure.
8.
Thank goodness the patient is breathing again. Was there a foreign body obstruction in his airway?
No, I checked for that first. The pharynx was clear.
So the problem was lower down?
Yes, he was having a laryngospasm.
That's when the larynx closes and won't open again.
Right. It was severe, so I performed a tracheal intubation. That opened the passage to the trachea.
I see. That's how you stabilize the patient.
Now listen again.
Thank goodness the patient is breathing again. Was there a foreign body obstruction in his airway?
No, I checked for that first. The pharynx was clear.
So the problem was lower down?
Yes, he was having a laryngospasm.
That's when the larynx closes and won't open again.
Right. It was severe, so I performed a tracheal intubation. That opened the passage to the trachea.
I see. That's how you stabilize the patient.
9.
How are you feeling this afternoon, Eric?
Oh, not too bad. My leg still hurts a bit, but the morphine is helping.
That's good. I need to check your wound again, okay?
All right, go ahead.
It seems like it's getting a bit worse.
How's that? What's it look like?
Your skin is really soft and very pale under the bandage.
What does that mean?
I think you've got a bit of maceration from your skin being too wet. We need to get this dried out or it won't heal.
Yeah, it's been feeling a little moist, but I thought that was normal.
Unfortunately, it's not.
I'm going to go get the head nurse and see if he agrees with me. I'll be right back with him.
Okay, thanks.
Now listen again.
How are you feeling this afternoon, Eric?
Oh, not too bad. My leg still hurts a bit, but the morphine is helping.
That's good. I need to check your wound again, okay?
All right, go ahead.
It seems like it's getting a bit worse.
How's that? What's it look like?
Your skin is really soft and very pale under the bandage.
What does that mean?
I think you've got a bit of maceration from your skin being too wet. We need to get this dried out or it won't heal.
Yeah, it's been feeling a little moist, but I thought that was normal.
Unfortunately, it's not. I'm going to go get the head nurse and see if he agrees with me. I'll be right back with him.
Okay, thanks.
10. I keep mixing up different cardiopulmonary emergencies. Can you help me?
Sure. Let's review a few key ideas. What do you know about cardiac conditions?
Well, I know cardiac arrest is when a clot blocks the blood supply.
Not exactly. You're actually describing a heart attack.
Wait, I'm confused. Aren't a heart attack and cardiac arrest the same thing?
You're close, but not quite. A heart attack can cause cardiac arrest.
Oh, I get it. So, cardiac arrest is when the heart actually stops.
Precisely. And sometimes, that's because of a blocked blood vessel or heart attack.
I see. I think I understand that concept now. Let's move on to pulmonary conditions.
Now listen again.
I keep mixing up different cardiopulmonary emergencies. Can you help me?
Sure. Let's review a few key ideas. What do you know about cardiac conditions?
Well, I know cardiac arrest is when a clot blocks the blood supply.
Not exactly. You're actually describing a heart attack.
Wait, I'm confused. Aren't a heart attack and cardiac arrest the same thing?
You're close, but not quite. A heart attack can cause cardiac arrest.
Oh, I get it. So, cardiac arrest is when the heart actually stops.
Precisely. And sometimes, that's because of a blocked blood vessel or heart attack.
I see. I think I understand that concept now. Let's move on to pulmonary conditions.
That is the end of part one.
Now turn to part two. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully. You will hear the recording twice.
Today on Mind Matters, I'm talking to Dr. Anne Winters, an expert on human memory. Anne, welcome to the programme. Now, I suppose the first question everyone would ask is, what exactly is the human memory?
Well, like so many easy questions, the answer isn't very simple. Basically, the human memory is a compartment in our brain where we store images, rather like the hard disk drive in a computer. And like a hard disk drive, our memories can become infected or even wiped out by accidents. But the comparison breaks down when we consider that we can train our memories to expand and work better, which computers can't manage yet.
When you talk about memory being infected, do you mean by a disease?
Yes. For instance, people suffering from a physiological disease like Alzheimer's forget things that happened in the past, and they also forget how to perform simple tasks like tying their shoelaces. The good news is that brain exercises can keep the brain young. Research has shown that people who were more successful in education and have more mentally active jobs have a lower risk of developing the disease.
And how can someone exercise his brain? By thinking a lot?
In a way, yes. But you can also practice using your memory, which not only exercises your brain, but also improves your ability to remember things. Unfortunately, a lot of devices in modern life are designed to make sure we don't forget things, which can make our brain more idle and weaken our memory.
Would you give us examples of how to exercise our memory?
Sure. There's a very simple technique, although it works better for some people than for others. Whatever you want to remember, think of a physical thing it reminds you of. If I want to remember a date from history, let's say 1066, the date of the Battle of Hastings, I might think that battle reminds me of bottle. So I think of a bottle with the number 1066 written on the label, and I just picture that bottle to myself.
Why is it easier to remember a physical thing than a sentence, such as the Battle of Hastings was in 1066?
Because our brains are better at recalling pictures than abstract thought. That's why I said it works better for some people than for others. Some people are particularly good at seeing pictures in their minds, visualising ideas, and they're the ones that can remember things best using this technique.
Is there anything else we can do to protect our brains?
You simply have to exercise your brain regularly with new, enjoyable and interesting activities like learning a new language or playing a new computer game.
Are you suggesting that simple things like doing crosswords can make the brain more efficient?
Absolutely.
I'll keep that in mind. And Winters, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
Now listen again.
Today on Mind Matters, I'm talking to Dr. Anne Winters, an expert on human memory. Anne, welcome to the programme. Now, I suppose the first question everyone would ask is, what exactly is the human memory?
Well, like so many easy questions, the answer isn't very simple. Basically, the human memory is a compartment in our brain where we store images, rather like the hard disk drive in a computer. And like a hard disk drive, our memories can become infected or even wiped out by accidents. But the comparison breaks down when we consider that we can train our memories to expand and work better, which computers can't manage yet.
When you talk about memory being infected, do you mean by a disease?
Yes. For instance, people suffering from a physiological disease like Alzheimer's forget things that happened in the past, and they also forget how to perform simple tasks like tying their shoelaces. The good news is that brain exercises can keep the brain young. Research has shown that people who were more successful in education and have more mentally active jobs have a lower risk of developing the disease.
And how can someone exercise his brain? By thinking a lot?
In a way, yes. But you can also practice using your memory, which not only exercises your brain, but also improves your ability to remember things. Unfortunately, a lot of devices in modern life are designed to make sure we don't forget things, which can make our brain more idle and weaken our memory.
Would you give us examples of how to exercise our memory?
Sure. There's a very simple technique, although it works better for some people than for others. Whatever you want to remember, think of a physical thing it reminds you of. If I want to remember a date from history, let's say 1066, the date of the Battle of Hastings, I might think that battle reminds me of bottle. So I think of a bottle with the number 1066 written on the label, and I just picture that bottle to myself.
Why is it easier to remember a physical thing than a sentence, such as the Battle of Hastings was in 1066?
Because our brains are better at recalling pictures than abstract thought. That's why I said it works better for some people than for others. Some people are particularly good at seeing pictures in their minds, visualising ideas, and they're the ones that can remember things best using this technique.
Is there anything else we can do to protect our brains?
You simply have to exercise your brain regularly with new, enjoyable and interesting activities like learning a new language or playing a new computer game.
Are you suggesting that simple things like doing crosswords can make the brain more efficient?
Absolutely.
I'll keep that in mind. And Winters, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
That is the end of part 2.